It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. As you know, we do that every morning, and you'll find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify as well, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. And a Tuesday has popped up and said, good morning, March the 5th today. A question this morning: does stamp duty worry you and keep you up late at night? Sort of swilling around in the back of your head, creating moments of anxiety. If that is you, you are not alone. And PropTrack tells us that a 1% increase in stamp duty could reduce home sales by 7.2%. I mean, that's a pretty staggering sort of a stat this morning. And removals of concessions in Queensland led to a 7.7% decline in home purchases. Stamp duty also affects downsizing and job changes, with costs surging up to six times since the 1980s. And advocates propose replacing stamp duty with a land tax for fairness and efficiency. So it's a big issue, whichever way you tackle the affordability crisis to help more Australians get into home ownership. It is definitely going to be with us for the next few years, for sure. So this morning, we're going to catch up with Nick Garvin, who is the research manager at E61 Institute. And good morning to you, Nick. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast.
Morning, Craig. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. So first off, tell us a little bit about E61 Institute.
E61 Institute is a not-for-profit, politically independent research institute. So we aim to tackle economic policy and questions that are important for Australia. And we do this through academically rigorous data analysis. So we work quite a lot with academia, but the idea is that relative to academic research, we can focus more on the questions that are important at the moment to Australia's economy.
Yeah, okay. So could you explain to the audience how stamp duty acts as this barrier to home movement and affects job relocation as well as productivity?
Yeah, sure, Greg. So basically, stamp duty imposes fairly large costs on top of the purchase price when you're buying a home. And if you already own a home and you're planning to move, then you would typically sell the home you own and buy a new one. So in that way, that cost affects the cost of moving as well. When we hear about stamp duty as a percentage of the purchase price, we need to factor in that when you buy a home, you're typically putting up much less cash than the actual purchase price. So if you're buying with a mortgage, you might pay a 20% deposit. The effect of this is that stamp duty as a percent of the purchase price actually becomes a much larger percentage of the cash that you actually have to front up. So it's quite feasible that like a 4% stamp duty will end up increasing the savings that you need to put down a deposit by around 20%. So it's quite plausible that if it would take you 5 years to save for a deposit without stamp duty, with stamp duty, it's going to take you 6 years. So it imposes quite a large extra cost on buying a home. And this also acts as a deterrent to moving homes as well.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's a major problem. So just coming back to it, though, how significant is the impact if you look at a 1% increase in stamp duty on home sales, as indicated by your findings in your research?
Yeah, sure. So as you said before, the estimates from our work suggest that a 1% change in stamp duty rates, so for example, 2% to 3%, is going to reduce the number of home purchases by about 7.2% each year and reduce the rate at which people move homes by a similar amount. So if we consider that the median stamp duty around Australia is about 4%, and kind of multiply that 7.2 by four, we get to a number between 25 and 30%. So it suggests that the number of purchases and the number of moves would increase by about 25 to 30% each year if we completely remove stamp duty. So that's a pretty big number.
Yes, for sure. All right, we'll come back in just a moment, Nick, catch up and talk more about stamp duty, more about your research after this.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on The Real Estate Podcast.
300 grand won't get you a one better next to Queen's Park or next to the Maribyrnong River. If you're slightly out of Moonee Valley, you know, if you're going into, let's say, Pascavale or something around there, then you can still get just under 40 square metres, a one bedroom, one bathroom, one car spot.
People know that they're going to be living in a unit for the rest of their lives, and that's what they aim for. And we see Hong Kong and Singapore and areas like that with an abundance of units and people live in them, and entire generations pass units down from, you know, father to son and mother to daughter.
Yeah, look, a couple of suburbs that come to mind is Selix Beach. That suburb offers really great value for money if you're looking for a full-size block, so 600 square metres or larger.
We're finding in our market a lot of the first home buyers are almost tapping out at that 600 to really take advantage of the government scheme. So a lot of the buyers are looking to further south and certainly towards some of these coastal options.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
And it is a Real Estate Tuesday around Australia as we continue to bring you the most real estate podcasts, all about real estate, of course. And this morning we are talking with Nick Garvin, who is the research manager at E61 Institute. And Nick, can you elaborate on the effects observed when stamp duty concessions were removed in Queensland, leading to a decline in home purchases?
Sure. In Queensland in August 2011, there were previously fairly large concessions in place, stamp duty concessions for owner occupiers. And then in August 2011, these concessions got removed. So what this did was increase the stamp duty rate for owner occupier purchases. And it increased it by quite a lot. It was about 1 to 1.5% rise in stamp duty at this point. So we focus on this event for our study. This offers us a natural experiment because the change was so large. It allows us to more effectively isolate the impacts of stamp duty from the other influences on the housing market. So we can use this. We do a micro data study of this outcome and basically work out the sensitivity of the number of purchases and moves to a change in stamp duty based on this event. So this is what we did. We set up a model to basically control for all the other influences on the housing market. What we see when this concession was removed is a drop in the number of purchases relative to beforehand and relative to other states as well. And this drop is sustained. We did analysis on data on the number of purchases each year. We also did analysis on separate data on the number of people moving homes each year. Both sets of analysis gave pretty similar quantitative results.
Yeah, sensitivity, it's an interesting one with real estate because it doesn't take much to move the needle. And just in light of that, in what ways does stamp duty impact downsizing and job changes, particularly concerning its surge in costs compared to, let's say, the 1980s?
Yeah, so if you impose a cost on moving homes, as stamp duty does, you're likely to see a reduction in the number of people moving homes, as we do, but people tend to move for a reason. So one of the reasons is to change jobs. One of the reasons is to downsize. So when you put a cost on moving, you're likely to see a decline in these other things as well. So our analysis doesn't specifically focus on the number of people changing jobs and how that reacts to stamp duty, but other evidence suggests that if you increase housing costs, you're going to get a reduction in the number of people changing jobs because of that cost of moving. And an organization called the Susan MacKinnon Foundation actually ran a survey last year on people's attitudes towards housing. One of the questions in there was specifically about downsizing. So we do have a bit more evidence on the impact of downsizing. What this shows is that basically respondents were asked what types of things would prevent you from downsizing. And when we focus on the respondents that actually might realistically be considering downsizing, and this was respondents that owned their own homes and were over the age of 50 and also had more bedrooms in their home than they did have family members. And when we focus on their responses, we see about 25% of them said that the costs of transacting a home, including stamp duty, the question specifically said stamp duty, about 25% of them gave this response as a reason for why they would not downsize. So we have this separate survey evidence that does kind of suggest that the results that we're seeing in our data analysis that I mentioned before about the number of people moving homes declining does actually flow through to the number of people downsizing.
Yeah, well, it's not going away, is it? As I said at the top, people have anxiety, real concerning anxiety around all of this tax that you're talking about, and it's not an easy one to fix, and I suspect it's going to be with us for some time to come.
So one of the difficulties is that stamp duty does give state governments a fairly large proportion of their revenue. So it's unlikely that stamp duty would go away without being replaced by something else. But most economists agree that you could replace it with any other tax. And by removing that deterrence that stamp duty poses to buying homes and moving, whatever you replace it with is likely to bring an improvement in the functioning of the economy and people's welfare generally.
Which has got to be a good thing. All right, we'll wrap it up there, Nick. Great to chat to you this morning, get a little bit of a take on what E61 is doing around the research on property. Enjoy your Tuesday and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Craig.
Every week, unravel the real estate market to empower your real estate knowledge.
What about the capital growth where you are in your areas, your suburbs? What has that been like over the last 10 years?
Fairly strong. So we are dealing with a lot of buyers getting priced out of the Fitzroy Carlton market. So put it in context, a two-bedroom single front in Flemington, Kensington would be worth $1 million. 10 years ago, they were selling for around 500,000. So obviously you're virtually doubling every 10 years, which is the rule of thumb, so to speak. What we're seeing is a lot of buyers getting priced out of that Fitzroy Carlton market, because typically that marketplace, which is only 1.5-2 km from Flemington and Kensington, they're paying around 30-40% more for the same product only a couple of k's away.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.